It's good to be with you today. At my age, it's good to be anywhere. And the Lord blessing, I just thinking about it, and November the 6th, I'll be 79 years old. I look back on my birthday of when I was 30, and that's a distant memory. But I look back on that day, and it was a glorious day for me because that was the day I stepped into the pulpit as pastor of Lakeview Baptist Church on my 30th birthday. And some things you never forget, and that is certainly one of them, without question. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you, Lord, that you desire to captivate our minds and our soul and our spirit by your word, your spirit. We trust you for that, Lord. There be one here, as Larry's already prayed, that if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, this is the day of salvation for you, I trust. For we as Christians, may we recognize the fact today that God has something for us to do, regardless of age, regardless of education, regardless, you have something for us to do in the days we have left. We ask you, Lord, to open today the eyes of our hearts, open our minds and our spirit, that we might truly embrace the truth and hear your voice and choose to obey. For your glory and for your honor, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Genesis chapter 22. It's be hard to find, first book in the Bible. It is an amazing parallel to what Larry read. Genesis 22, tremendous story of Scripture and a picture of the typology of what Christ is going to do. So when we look at this, I want you to look at it with me with intensity. I want you to look at it through the eyes of the Lord. I want you to look at it with faith, with hope, with willingness to hear whatever he might speak to you and me today. He's already spoken to me through this passage. It's not the first time I preached it, but it's the first time I preached it here, and I reworked it, did other things, and really feel like the Lord has a word for us today. And I want you to right now, if you would, just in your heart say, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. And as you speak to me, Lord, I will obey. I will obey. You know without me saying that we live in troubled times. It's news on every corner that we hear. The death of one of God's servants through an unnecessary shooting claimed a life that God had used amazingly to kind of open the minds and the hearts of young people. But if we look at the sovereignty of God, it did not catch the Father by surprise. Why, you say? I do not know. No more than I know why God asked Abraham to do what he asked him to do in this passage. So the message today is entitled Obedience and Faith. I was a young pastor in my first church, as I told you, 30 years old. I was driving one day down Lakeview Drive to Lakeview Baptist Church, and there's a man on the radio that was a pastor of Plymouth Park Baptist Church by the name of Bo Baker. He had a little deal every day on the way called On the Way, 5 o'clock, 5 minutes, On the Way. And so I'm listening to that, and he's talking about being successful, how to be successful. I'm a young pastor. I'm my first time. I want to be successful. I want to see God do something. But amazingly, he said this toward the end. Now, I'll tell you how that you become successful. And I turned the radio up a little bit and I listened. He said, here it is. And he said, you spell it O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. You want to be great in God's kingdom? You be obedient. You want to be successful as a Christian? You be obedient. Many of us, we know what to do. The problem is, we ain't doing it. Not being unkind. I'm just saying, listen to me carefully. God did not save you. God did not save me to come to church. Number one, you are the church. You can come to a building, but you can't come to church. And when we come, why do we come? What do we gain? What do we get? I ask you this question. After I finish today, will the message leave the room? Will the message leave the room? Will you share it with a grandchild? Will you share it with a neighbor? Will you share it with a clerk at the grocery store? Will you speak the word? Will you say something about the message to someone that they might come to know the God that you know? That's really what it's all about, isn't it? So obedience and faith. Look at Genesis 22, beginning in verse 1. And I'm just going to read segments of it because I don't want to read the whole thing. I just want to move towards it. And when you look at it, Genesis, Abraham in Genesis 22 is not known. He's called, but he's we don't know why he's called to do what he does, except God knows. And we'll see that in a little bit. In chapter 12 through 21, God is preparing Abraham the whole journey for this moment, for this time. See, God is preparing you. Maybe you've gotten slack. Maybe you've got kind of stepped back away. But listen, every Christian has a ministry. Every Christian has a purpose. God wants you in the days you have left to honor Him and glorify Him with your life. I've had people ask me, when are you going to quit? When are you going to quit just traveling and running the highways, preaching the road? I said, well, I guess I'll get there when I can't drive or my wife can't drive and Larry won't go with me and drive me, and or Chris won't, or somebody. I won't go. God didn't call me to quit. Amen. I ran 9 years before I finally said yes. I was 17 years old when God called me. Some of you know this story. 26 years old, I finally said yes. Went back to college. Poor student in high school. I was interested in three things in high school. That was my 57 Chevrolet, my girlfriend, and my baseball playing. I was not real excited about civics or geometry. Matter of fact, just for the record, I don't use geometry today. You may, but I don't. I never have figured out why I had to take that. I guess there was a reason for it. But we all learn as we go. And so finally in that year, 1976, when I could not say no any longer, I said yes. And the best I can, I have failed miserably. I have not been what I need to be sometimes. But my heart is always to obey, do what God's asked me to do. So when we look at this, God is preparing Abraham for the most challenging life experience that anyone could ever have. He follows, note the statement, he follows, not knowing where he's going or really what's going to happen. He believes in his heart, and we'll find that in a moment. So in verse 1, look at it. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. What we have here is the superior God speaking to the inferior Abraham, and he says to him, here I am. Abraham's response, it presents himself to service. He presents himself in surrender, ready to obey, ready to be taught. Obedience. How do you possess success in Christian? O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. That's how you spell it. God tests Abraham to do what? Reveal his faith. God knew what Abraham was going to do. God knew the result on this mount that he's going to. Abraham did not, but he obeyed. He walked in faith. If you're a believer, listen to me carefully. If you are a professing believer, God has called you to something. It may not be to preach, but he has called you to something. He's called you to serve. He's called you to obey. He's called you to know the Word. See, knowing the Word and sharing the Word is not just for the ministry and the hired guns. That's not who it's for. It's for all of us. We live in a world that's lost, a world that's decaying, a world that's immoral, a world that's ungodly. And how's it going to change? One way, by the cross. By the cross. That's it. By the cross. God's call. God's command. Look at verse 2. He said, take now your son, your only son. Stop right there. That remind you of anything? This is the typology of Christ when he's going to sacrifice his son. Look at it. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will call you. This is God's command. Take your son Isaac. It's an uncommon command. Would you agree? It's an uncommon command. God, listen to me very carefully. God is not into human sacrifice. Period. But he calls Abraham to do this. And listen, who is Abraham? He's heir of the promise. He's heir of the promise. Your descendants will be as the sand of the seashore and the stars in the sky. Unnumbered, innumerable, without question. Your only son, whom you love, the usage of love. It's the first usage of love in Scripture in this passage. You love your son. On Mount Moriah, it's a typology of Christ's crucifixion because it's right in the very region of Golgotha where Christ will be crucified some years later. And he goes there to offer him as a sacrifice. What has the Lord asked you to do? Now listen to this question. What, and I asked myself the question when I wrote it down, okay? So it's not just for you, it's for me. What has the Lord asked you to do and you have not said, here am I, send me? Fair question? Fair question. What does God ask you to do? God is speaking. He speaks to his children. He speaks to the heart. He speaks to the mind. He speaks to the spirit. And he wants us to be obedient to his call. He didn't call us to come to church on this given day just so we could eat good lunch when we get through. He wants us to embrace the truth. Now listen to me carefully what I'm about to say. You don't have to like me to embrace the truth. Matter of fact, I'd rather you embrace the truth than to like me. Does that make sense? So it's important that we see. What does the Lord ask you to do? And you said, no. What is it? Third thing, Abraham's conviction. Look at verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had called him. Abraham's consecration. Go to the exact certain place of sacrifice. Why did he rise early? Maybe he couldn't sleep. I don't know. But he rose early. Why did he chop the wood and load the donkey rather than his servants? He was a wealthy man. He had everything you could imagine. But no, I have a speculation that he cut the wood and did what he did, try to get his mind off of what was going on. That's just suspect, but I think it is. So he cuts the wood and he gets ready. He saddled the donkey, split the wood. Listen to me very carefully. Listen to these words. Listen to these words. Abraham's, when he says this, he rose early and couldn't sleep. When God spoke to him, Abraham had no question. Abraham had no dispute. He had no reaction, and he had no complaint. Can I give those to you again? He had no question, no dispute, no reaction, no complaint. Saddled his donkey, split the wood, got his son, and headed out to where God had told him to go. Can we do any less? Can we do any less than what God's asked us to do? Do we trust him? Do we believe that if he says, I want you to do this, I want you to give this, I want you to get rid of this, whatever it may be, are you willing to do it? I've said this before here, I'll say it again. Not one of us is going to take anything with us when we go to glory. Nada. Nothing. But yet, When we get there, the inheritance is going to be magnificent. Amen. What you have here is nothing in comparison to what heaven holds for you if you're going there. Fourth thing I want you to see is Abraham's confidence. Look at verse 3 through 6. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for burnt offering and rose and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there." Now watch what he says. "And we will worship and come back." We will worship and we will come back. Wait a minute. What's God ask him to do? Sacrifice his son. What is Abraham thinking? Two things that he's thinking. Number one, he's going to take Isaac's life and God's going to raise him from the dead. Number two, God will provide a substitute. He already has for you and me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him today? Do you just know about him today? Or do you know him? Do you know him? That's what he wants you to know him. If we know him, what can we do? If we know him, we can trust him. Amen? If we know him, we can trust him. Look at what God's asked Abraham to do. He has never asked any one of us in this room to undertake such a doing. Right or wrong? He has not. But what he has asked us to do is significant to him and important to him, and we must do it. God spoke to my heart. Blakeview Baptist Church had grown, moved from 40 people to have 207 2 years later, built a new building, hired our first full-time staff man, was out of pastor, whatever call, and 2.5 years, the Lord swung a door open for me to go to Pasadena, Texas. What I want to say to you is what God called me to do. When he called me, I did not understand, but I understand it perfectly today and have understood it for some time. My job in ministry has always been going into troubled churches and seeing God restore them. He didn't restore them because of me. He restored them because of the Holy Spirit working through me and in the lives of the people. I did that. I never went from a small, big church, from a small church to a bigger church. I always went from one that had grown to one that needed help. That was my ministry. That was my calling. I didn't argue about it. I didn't ask for a bigger church. I didn't ask for more money. I just asked to be in the will of God. And sometimes it was hard, very hard. But God is faithful. We will worship. First time in Scripture the word is used. We will worship. Used, it means to bow down, the word does from the Hebrew. It means to humble oneself. It means to go prostrate. It literally is a picture of a man lying on his stomach and on his face with his face to the ground and crying out to the Lord. He's prostrate before God. He's given himself to God. I love a statement, a confident statement. We will return. Amen? Amen. Do you know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. But to understand the path and understand the straightness of God's will, you got to get on the road that he wants you on. He wants you to do something. He doesn't want you to sit in church. The resurrection of Isaac, or God will provide a substitute. He didn't say we may come back. He didn't say it's highly likely we'll come back. He said, we will. We're coming back. What an exercise of faith. What do you want to see God do in your life? What do you want God to see do in your church? Do you have, now Gabriel's not here. You can tell him what I said. He has a vision for this church. I meet with him regularly. He has a vision. Do you want the church to be what you want it to be, or do you want it to be what God wants it to be? then whatever that is that God leads to do, let's do it without dispute. Let's do it without complaint. Let's just do it. Let's just do it. That's what Nike said, right? Every time a Nike commercial, just do it. That's what God wants us to do. What I want to do is find out what God's plan is for me at this moment in time, and then I want to get in on it, and the way I get in on it is I say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm willing. I'm available. What do you want from me? It's so important that you do that. Fifth thing, they continue up the mountain. Look what he says. Abram took the wood of the burnt offering, verse 6, and laid it on Isaac, his son. Picture? Do you see a picture? They're going up the mount region where Jesus is going to be crucified. Jesus carried his cross. Isaac carries his wood for the sacrifice. It's a picture. It's a typology, again, if you please. Jesus carried his cross. So Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac, and took his hand and fire in the knife. Isaac has the wood. Dad has the fire and the knife. Going up the mountain. They walked on together. What is the knife? It's the instrument of death. It's the instrument of death. Look at what you see. He said the two walk on together. The two walk on together. Abraham trusting God. Isaac trusting dad. Say it again. Abraham trusting God. Isaac trusting his dad. I want to make a statement to you that I rarely make in a pulpit. I want you to listen to me very carefully. There's no man that you can trust completely, but you can trust Gabriel. Gabriel Orr wants the best for you. He wants the best for this church. He's willing to do, by his own admission, as we visited, whatever it takes to get that done. Don't you want to see this place 2 years from now with 250, 300 people, kids running the aisle and young people everywhere, God building his church, his way for his glory? Don't you want to see that? Amen. Then get on board. Say, yes, Lord. Whatever you want to do with me, with this church, it's okay. Let me tell you something. You can trust him. Amen. You can trust him. So let's move forward for his glory. The two walk on together, both walking in obedience, both walking in faith, both trusting God. Both trusting God. Look at Isaac's concern, verse 7. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but dad, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? A lot of wisdom displayed here. Abraham didn't say, son, you're it. Yet he was. And what does Abraham say? Look what he says. He says in verse 8, Abraham said, by faith, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. He says, the lamb, where is it? The scripture tells us in Revelation 13:8 that the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. God is in control. They walk on, trusting, still loving, still obedient. They walk together. Abraham believing they would meet holy God on the mountain. And they did. If they hadn't gone up the mountain, look what they'd have missed. What's your mountain? What's your mountain? What is what God want you going in this time in your life and the days you have left? They walk on, trusting, still loving. They walk on together. Abraham believing they would meet holy God on the mountain. This journey has been called by many theologians the walk of death. The walk of death. What happens? God does not contradict himself. Hebrews 11:6, the scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And ask you another question. How's your faith working? Are you willing? Say, well, I need to know the question. No, you just need to give the answer. Yes, Lord. Lord, whatever you want, whatever you ask, because he will only ask to your good and to his glory. They get to the place. They build an altar, rains the wood, and Abraham bound his son. Literally, the word bound there means to tie with thongs, and he tied him. They came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar, then arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. What do you think's going through the mind of Isaac? Dad, what are you doing? But notice something. He never says anything. According to Scripture, he never says one thing. Not one thing. God's compassion is in verse 11 through 19. It says the Scripture says in verse 12, he said, do not stretch out. He said, but verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It's a reverence. It's an awe. It's a knowledge of who he is, and he is superior to anything we are and what we hope to be. And God wants to work in your life and my life. He wants to be superior in your life. He wants to work through you for his good and for his glory. Let's read this. And Abraham, after he said, your only son from me, you didn't withhold him. Then Abraham raised his eyes, verse 13, and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. And the angel of the Lord, who is that? It's the Lord. The angel of the Lord, God speaking to Abraham. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you and I will greatly multiply your seed, the stars of the heavens and the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Verse 19. What did he say to the young men when they started up the mountain? He was from West Texas. He said, y'all wait here and we'll be back. Verse 19. So Abraham returned to his young men and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived in Beersheba. He believed. Abraham was ready to take his son's life. The scripture says he had the knife in his hand. Now, all the Levitical covenant, all the animals that were slain by the slashing of the throat. That's how they killed them, for the sacrifice. You see, the picture sometimes where Abraham is standing over Isaac on the altar like this, I don't believe that's the way he was. I believe if I could get Brother Joe to come up here and lay on this table, and I'm not going to ask you to, but just say we did. What would we do if he's laying on the altar? He's like this, and Abraham takes the knife. His head is here, and he takes the knife to the front of his throat. He doesn't slash his throat. He's committed to doing it. Committed to taking his own son's life. And what does God say? Abraham, here I am. Stop. You have validated to me that you trust me. You've obeyed me. You've been willing to sacrifice your son. Note the time. I think if I'm right in this passage, there's like four times that he says, your son, your only son. Your son, your only son. Listen, God gave his son, his only son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice. He did not withhold him. And on that day of the cross, there was nothing to stop him as there was Abraham. Nothing to stop him. And God took his son, Jesus, and sacrificed him on the cross for you, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm going to say something to you. I want you to hear me. Abraham was ready to take his son's life. No one had been raised from the dead at that point, but he believed that God would raise him from the dead or provide the sacrifice, and he provided the sacrifice. Because he looks, and what does he see? In the thicket, a ram caught. Accident? No. Providence. The sovereignty of God moved that animal there. He believed and moved to cut the throat of his only son, verse 12. From heaven, the angel of the Lord, Yahweh himself, as in the burning bush on Mount Sinai, says, stop. I know you trust me. Then I'll kill your son. No one, again, I want to remind you, no one, nothing, no one was at the cross to say, stop. So since Jesus died for you and gave his life for you, rose again for you, ascended to heaven for you, and sits in the seat of glory today for you, what shall you do with the days you have left? I'm going to keep on preaching. Only one person listens. It's a home run. Don't kill your son. Do not stretch out your hand. For I know you fear me. I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about the question. Do you fear God? I'm not talking about crouching in the corner. I'm not talking about as a kid who got scared one time by a dog down the street in the night and was scared of the dark for years. I'm not talking about that kind of fear. I'm talking about a reverential awe. He's God. I'm not. He's all sufficient. I'm not. He's all loving. I'm not. He's all giving. I'm not. Look what he says. You've not withheld your son, your only son. I ask us this question. What have we withheld? Remember the rich young ruler in Luke 18? Jesus came to him and said, you have eternal life. He said, how to have it? He said, tell you have it, you sell all you have, give to the poor, and do what? Come follow me. Listen to me very carefully. Jesus didn't say to him, give all you have, give to the poor, and say a prayer. He didn't say that and join the church. He said, follow me. That's the greatest indicator of salvation, is that we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while I'm there, let me make this statement. You can actually get saved and not pray. Why would you say that? Because it's biblical. Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee. Here's Peter, James, and John. He says to them, put down those nets and do what? Come follow me. What'd they do? Stop and pray? No evidence of that. They follow. Matthew the tax collector. Follow me. Zacchaeus in the tree. Follow me. The woman at the well. How did we know she was saved? She went into town and told everybody. Nothing about prayer. I'm not against prayer. I think you can pray, but prayer doesn't save you. Jesus does. And we see that. Will you lay down your... Here's the question. Here's the question. You ready? Will you lay down your Isaac? What is your Isaac? Is it your church membership? Is it your ministry you do? Are all your resources of life available to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I've often asked the question, what would you do if God gave you $2 million today? Now, I asked that question back in the 80s, and $2 million was a lot of money. Now, today it's not. But what would you do if God gave you $2 million today? My brother-in-law and I were talking about this one day, and he said, you don't know what you do. I said, oh, yes, I do. I already made that call. That's not going to be my Isaac. Immediately, I'm going to give half of it away. Immediately. Still have a million more than I had. Here's the point. What is your Isaac? Were you willing to allow God, the Holy Spirit, to search your heart and say, here's your Isaac? And you're willing to lay it down. And if you're willing to give it up, the Lord may let you keep it, just like he did Abraham and his son. Will you lay it down? Listen to me very carefully. God has a mountain for you. God has a mountain for you. He wants you to go up it. It may not be a great mountain, but it's a mountain. He wants you to move forward for his glory. Will you ascend it by faith? That's what Abraham did, didn't he? He went by faith, believing, trusting. Here's the key. Listen to these three things and I'm through. Abraham went up this mountain in obedience. Do you agree with that? If you agree with it, say amen, please.
Amen.
What met him was faithfulness. When we're obedient, God meets us in faithfulness. He met Abraham at the top of the mountain, but Abraham had to get to where God wanted him to be to see his faithfulness. He went up the mountain in obedience. Second thing, he went up the mountain in faith. He believed God. What met him on the mountain? Grace. Oh, the grace of God on that mountain. Do you see it? Do you see that grace? Start up your mountain by faith. God will meet you in grace. When I started out in ministry, I had a great job in Corpus Christi, Texas. Company car, working with general contractors. I was going to be the director of the association probably in the next year and a half. Great job for a kid with no education. God said, I got another mountain. Not here. And when I said yes to the Lord, I had a guy call me that I used to work for at a moving company. He said, understand you surrendered your life to preach the gospel. I said, yes, sir, I have. He said, well, I just want you to know if your house sells and you need a place to put your furniture, I'll store it until you find a place to move. Won't charge you a dime. Then, second thing, where are you going to go to school? I don't know, Gary. I don't know. He said, wherever you move in the lower 48, I'll move you for free. Listen, you never know what God's going to do while you're sitting in neutral. But when you step on the accelerator and say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And another guy came to me when I surrendered, when I shared at the board meeting that I was leaving. Bill Ewing, Ewing Construction, came to me after and said, if you need my pickup and trailer so you can get some stuff up there that you don't want on the van or whatever, well, let me know. So a couple of weeks went by and I called him, went out to pick it up. He's sitting there with the trailer on it full of gas. I started getting in the truck and he said, I'm really excited about what you're doing as a Christian man. I have a big old handlebar mustache. That's how I remember him so much. He handed me a credit card. I said, what's that? He said, you driving my truck? You're burning my gas. You eat, you put it on that credit card. You buy candy bar, you put it on that credit card. This is my trip. I would have never seen that if I hadn't said, yes, Lord. If I hadn't obeyed, wouldn't have seen it. Wouldn't have seen God's hand and what we were waiting and finally got a job at Bell Helicopter. And when I got the job, well, we were really wanting to have another baby and it just wasn't happening, wasn't happening. And it was before the job. And I went to work for Bell Helicopter and had full coverage insurance and everything. And 2 months after I went there, Judy was pregnant with Carrie. You know what the baby cost me? $12. For the photos. $12. That's God's hand. That's not coincidental. God's timing and God's moment is clearly crystal clear when we walk with him. Will you lay down your Isaac? Will you say, yes, Lord? It sounds much better than no, Lord. I know that those of you who were here when I did the interim, you know I love you. You know I love this church. Nowhere in Scripture, nowhere, does the Scripture say, go ye therefore and whine. Go ye therefore and complain. I'm going to be real clear with you, okay, because I love you. And one of the songs that you didn't like this morning is okay with God. And it might be okay with your neighbor. There's some songs we do, brother, I don't really care for. That doesn't mean somebody else does and doesn't. That is immaterial to the purpose of the church. It's not about what I like and what I don't like. It's about me humbling myself. Here's my Isaac, Lord. Thank you for revealing it to me. Will you? Will you lay it down for His glory and for His honor? And if you're here and you've never come up that mountain to the cross, you need to come and trust Him. Say, Lord, in the days I have left, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer. Lord, in the days I have left, what do you want to do with me? I'm all in for your glory. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for the obedience and faith and resolve of the man Abraham. Thank you for his son who walked with him by faith, climbed up on that altar of sacrifice, all in the will of God, to see the hand of God say, stop. Now I know that you love me. Father, I praise that you would move among us today. God, may your will be done in this place, in our hearts, for your glory. As the invitation is given, the words are sung, will we say, yes, Lord, this is my Isaac. I give it to you for your glory and for your honor. Never been to the cross, never trusted him as your Savior, you need to come. And for the Christian, lay it all down. This day, say, yes, Lord, I shall follow you until you come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Ed. It is a blessing to be in God's Word, the man who has lived the challenge of laying down an Isaac. Thank you for being with us. I just want to say, particularly for those of you at home, if you're ever in the area, please come visit us. We'd love to have you right here in Spring, Texas. Out of 2 Corinthians 13, 14, Brother Paul said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.